Today's gospel reading is the story of the Good Samaritan. It's from Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw the wounded man, he passed by on the other side. So likewise did a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you have spent.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So some of you may know I actually have 3 sons, and the youngest, Brian, recently took a job as the director of recreation in Fairfax, literally his dream job for the moment. And last week, on the 4th of July, and then on the Saturday after the 4th of July, he threw the biggest parties he's ever thrown. Party in the Park in Fairfax on last Saturday was a large community event with, literally, they had over 1,000 people there, and there were fireworks, the first fireworks Fairfax had had in a few years. Thank you to, I think, Stefan's group did that. And it went well, but a couple of days before the event, my son started to panic a little bit, and he put out a call for volunteers. And of course, you love your children and you want to help them, so I said, "Sure, I'll volunteer." And he said, "I'll let you know by Friday if I need any volunteers." By 6 o'clock on Friday, I'm pretty sure I was off the hook. At 9:45 p.m., a text comes in, "Hey, will you sell glow sticks from 7 to 8 p.m?" Well, that's a pretty small ask. I can do that. I'm like, so I texted back, "Yeah, I'll do that." So in my mind, when I said yes, I envisioned the glow stick sellers I'd seen at other events. They had a little pouch full of change. They could make change. They usually had a sign that said what the prices were, and they had a little basket or something to carry the glow sticks in, and they looked like they had it together, and I'm like, I don't have to think about this. I just have to do what my son tells me. So I'm kind of naive and very trusting. I got there. The packages of glow sticks hadn't been opened. There's little connectors on them that you need to put on them so people can make necklaces or bracelets out of them. Those were not on them. There were hundreds of them. There was, I said, "So what are the prices?" And my son said, "Oh, we don't have set prices. You can figure out, sell them for whatever you want." It was probably like $1 a piece, $3 for the big ones, whatever. You can make deals, you can bundle them. Okay, so I don't have a sign that tells everyone what prices are and that I'm not just some strange, creepy person selling these. And he's like, no, just, you know, whatever you want to say. I'm like, okay. So you've got the pouch with the change? Oh, we don't have any change. You're starting from scratch. So this quickly went from being an easy ask to way outside my comfort zone. And thankfully, I had a friend with me who was a little more outgoing and very willing to make deals. And at first, I just kind of walked through holding a bundle of glow sticks, and people just did look at me like I was a creepy old woman. But then, you know, started saying, would you like to buy a glow stick for the rec department? And people said, oh. And they said, well, how much are they? We're like, well, we're not sure. So we did settle on one for the small ones, three for the big ones. But the best deal, the bundle that my friend came up with, was two bracelets and two large ones for four large ones for $10. And two bracelets and two necklaces for $5. Yep, that was it. So you got a couple dollars break on each if you did that. And if a kid didn't have quite enough, they got a glow stick. And it took us a while to gain momentum, but after the end of the hour, we were doing pretty good, and the next person took over from us. I was very thankful. I will definitely ask more questions, but I was way outside of my comfort zone, and even though I got through it, it was tough. And that's what parents do. When our kids need our help, even when it makes us uncomfortable, we go that extra step for them. In the Good Samaritan, that's kind of what it comes down to. The priest and the Levite were good people. The priest was probably not a bad person. He had responsibilities to serve in the temple. He was probably on his way to the temple. And the same with the Levite, who was going to be assisting him and taking care of the temple. They both had places to be, things to do. And what I didn't realize until I started reading about this parable is that their responsibilities in the temple meant that they had to follow some very strict standards of cleanliness. If they had touched someone who was considered unclean, somebody who was bleeding, they would have to go through an extensive and lengthy cleansing ceremony before they could return to their responsibilities. There was an order of things. So it was very inconvenient and uncomfortable for them to stop and help the wounded man. That doesn't mean they shouldn't have helped him. It just means they were probably weighing what they felt they were called to do with what they should do and decided not to go out of their way. Now the Samaritan, who was traveling, probably also had places to go and deadlines to meet. But he stopped and he helped. He took time out of his schedule. He took time to clean and bind the man's wounds. He took the man to the inn and spent the night caring for him. We can pretty much guess that the Samaritan was really late for wherever he was going, and that stopping and doing this was not in his plans. Since this was also someone from a different culture than him, he probably was very uncomfortable. This was someone who, had they been healthy, would have probably shunned him and scorned him, but he took the risk of helping him anyway. He rose to the occasion and he did what was right, even though he was inconvenienced, and he showed his love for his neighbor by stepping outside that zone. My guess is you're here today because you consider yourself a Christian. You find yourself called to be a part of the community of this church, and you share your gifts and talents to make the world a better place. As Christians, that's what we do. A lot of us find how we can help in the world when we're fairly young, and we do that throughout our lives. Right in this room, there's a large evidence of a lot of gifts and talents. Catherine and Dana lead the music, and that's one of the most vital ways we keep this church vibrant. And we have the altar coverings that Donna sewed and that other people have been sewing, gracing this place. And we have people who serve as trustees to keep the building sound. We have folks reaching out into the community, Don doing the Essex, organizing the Essex Eats Out, those of us who visit people in the hospital, in prisons, whatever ministry we do that takes us, keeps us alive and make that we feel called to do. For me, I found myself called to work with teenagers pretty early on, and I've done that a lot over the last 30 years. It's something I feel really comfortable doing. Somebody asked me to sit in a room with teenagers, I'm all for it. They can throw me a curveball during Sunday school. I can pretty much, you know, keep right on going and roll with the punches. Doesn't faze me at all. It's not going outside of my comfort zone. I feel called to do that, and I also feel very comfortable doing that. And that's the way it is with the gifts and talents we joyfully accepted. We found a way to use them, and it is good. We shouldn't stop using those. But it's not enough. The quote for reflection that is in the bulletin. It's true that God may have called you to be exactly where you are, but it is absolutely vital to grasp that he didn't call you there so you could settle in and live your life in comfort and superficial peace. God does want us to continue using our gifts as we already do, but he's also calling us outside of our comfort zones. He wants us to see what our neighbor's needs and to take care of them. And that's what Jesus was trying to get through to the lawyer. We can't be like the priest and the Levite, thinking that what we do every day is enough. We need to be like the Samaritan and interrupt our lives when we see a need that our neighbor has. Like the Samaritan, we need to acknowledge that everybody, whether they're someone we're comfortable with or someone we consider our enemy, they're all our neighbors. And sometimes it's hard to see those people and their needs, even when they're right in front of us. Sometimes we've just become blind to the needs around us. And other times we see the needs, but like the priest and the Levite, we make excuses. I'm already doing so much. I'm really busy. I can't do anything more. I don't know how to do that. And it's really not a good time. But God wants us to go further for our neighbor. We really have to go beyond our roles and responsibilities. It's seeing that other person's need or pain and addressing them that's a true action of love. We need to actively be looking for opportunities to reach out and make a difference. From simple acts of comforting a person in distress at work, going out of your way to give someone a ride, to stopping at an accident scene to offer assistance or protesting an act of injustice. It's not easy. And if it's something we're not used to doing, it usually takes away from our time. But looking and seeing those opportunities is a habit that you have to cultivate. Often we have those blinders on, and we've developed those blinders over time, that it takes practice to start seeing where you can make a difference. And we're all going to see different opportunities. We're all starting in different places. For someone who's really shy, the simple act of greeting a person at church can be going way outside of a comfort zone. For others who are really busy, taking that week of vacation to do a mission trip, that could be highly uncomfortable and inconvenient. It might be suspending your pride to mend a fence with a neighbor you've had a rift with. Many of us live and breathe by our schedules, so the act of stopping to visit a friend who's in the hospital or to visit with a neighbor takes us way outside of our comfort zone, because we have to sit and realize dinner's not going to get on table at the same right time. The laundry might not get done tonight. For a lot of us, just taking time is one of the most difficult things to do. It might take you courage to serve food at COTS or attend a protest, speaking up for the rights of immigrants, but we all need to define what the first step is for ourselves. And keep those steps small, because if you just keep taking one step at a time, it gets easier. What I can assure you is once you start, it's going to be easier to continue on and you'll start to see more opportunities. And you also kind of get hooked on it. You realize it wasn't as scary as you imagined, that you're better equipped than you imagined, and it doesn't disrupt your life as much as you feared. Or maybe it did disrupt your life a little bit, but it was worth it and what you needed to do. I'm going to ask everyone to try a very small experiment this week. This is one that I was tasked with like 3 years ago, and it changed. And when I feel myself getting off, I start, you know, getting off track, I try to do this again. Most of us hurry. We are on our schedules. If any of you have commutes, you're probably like me. I have to travel into Burlington in the morning, and I have to travel out of Burlington in the afternoon, right up Main Street, and it's painful. It's really painful. And so I want you to start, when we're in a rush, whether we're in the grocery store or we're commuting or we're going from point A to point B in the hospital or at work, we sometimes see the other people around us as the enemy, people trying to get there before us, people that are trying to take our place in line, people who are keeping us from getting to where we need to be when we need to be there. This week, I want you to think about, try to find five opportunities to let someone go ahead of you. Whether it's letting somebody out in traffic, letting someone cut in line in front of you at the grocery store, holding a door for someone who's coming behind you in a hallway. I want you to take five chances to do that. You might have to look for them, but especially if you're in your car, look for those five opportunities to let someone go before you. It's a little thing.
You're not riding with me again.
But look at the people around you, find them, and try to do it five times. And then I want you to keep track of how you felt when you did it. If the person reacted, I want to see if you got any reaction from them. Did they smile? Did they wave? What did they do? And what the ultimate loss or gain to yourself was. Were you late? Were you uncomfortable? Did you have to bite your tongue? When you're doing it, think about how you're feeling, because, you know, I'd like next week to share a little bit about how that felt. So we're reminded in today's gospel reading that we should love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. Loving our neighbor is as little as letting another car into traffic or as helping pull someone from wreckage of an accident. What Jesus is looking for from us is that we don't let our daily routines blind us to the calling, blind us from seeing our neighbors and their needs. We're called to be like the Good Samaritan and help whenever we can, even when it makes us uncomfortable.